Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty. Hello, 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 friends, and I am glad to have you here. What an honor it is to be here today. Yeah, what a privilege. What a privilege. I get to come here. I get to talk to you guys about bad people and what bad people are doing, and they are doing some seriously bad things today. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you are not aware, our government is at war with its own people. What? What? Seems like a bit of a shocker, right? That's a bold statement. Well, let me lay some things out for you here, right? So we're looking at the Twitter files. The Twitter files are amazing. And one of the things that's occurred is we now know that the Twitter files have indicated that Twitter was working directly with the U.S. military in PSYOPs. What are PSYOPs? Okay, so PSYOPs get thrown around a lot. But let me tell you what PSYOPs are. Psychological operations are meant to destabilize or to manipulate or to shift a nation or an enemy or an entity or some type, right? The military uses these all the time. It's a non-conventional type of warfare, and it's done to facilitate change without having to necessarily commit troops or violence or anything of the sort. But it's warfare nonetheless. It's definitely a type of warfare carried out for the purpose of destabilizing or causing change to an entity or a government. Our military has been working on this, and they've been running PSYOPs missions for decades, absolute decades. Well, today we see that the Twitter files that were dropped showed that the company directly assisted the U.S. military in PSYOPs. Now, let me be clear. Those documents, those files, talk about assistance for the military in foreign nations. So, shady for sure, but definitely not the same as being at war with the United States, right? It is not at all the same. But hold on for a minute and let's talk about what's happening. So, when we look at our nation, we look at what's been happening. I want to talk about COVID, COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2. So I've done a little bit of work on COVID, doing a little bit more coming up. Got lots of lawsuits on this. And the one lawsuit we have is related to the creation of SARS-CoV-2. We've alleged, and I am quite confident that we're going to be able to prove that SARS-CoV-2 was created in the lab in Wuhan, China. Now, I can say that because we just had the House Republicans drop a report that showed that, right? We have Andrew Huff, Dr. Andrew Huff, my friend, who is a whistleblower who I'm working with and who has given us loads of firsthand witness testimony on this. EcoHealth Alliance was the company he worked for, and it was funded by Anthony Fauci and his crew up at the Department of Health and Human Services. And CDC, HHS, these guys are the ones who are also in charge of biological weapons issues, right? They work with the military. No question about it. So, what does that mean? Well, it means that we have military and intelligence operations that seem like they would be aware of what's going on here and know what's going on if we're doing this sort of gain-of-function work in a dangerous place like China, where the country has openly stated that they want to use biological weapons against us. And, yeah, I mean, listen, you've got a Defense Department who's acting like they didn't know that we were transferring technology to China to develop SARS-CoV-2 in a lab that was known to be tied to bioweapons facilities for the Chinese Communist Party. Really? You want to pretend you didn't know that? Our intelligence community wants to pretend they didn't know that? Well, Dr. Huff has provided me all sorts of documents. And amongst those documents are documents that show that EcoHealth Alliance had at least some ties or relations to the CIA. What does that mean? Well, what it means is we know that Huff, for example, had to create a pitch deck that was used for an InQtel project. InQtel, by the way, we've got a screenshot of the website. It's listed on a government website as the investment arm of the CIA. They're a front company, right? So our government's working over in China to develop these bioweapons with and through private entities, which is not uncommon. You know, our intelligence community generally works through private entities because they like to do a lot of things that would normally be illegal to do for the government, but private entities can still do them. So they fund private entities to do certain things, and then they put them under all sorts of contracts and non-disclosures and things like that. So EcoHealth is over here transferring technology, teaching the Chinese Communist Party how to make bioweapons and working on Wuhan. Well, we know how that turned out. You know, SARS-CoV-2 is now, according to the WHO, if you believe them, killed 6.5 million people globally, with that number continuing to rise. And that doesn't count the number of people who've been killed by the jabs or the lockdowns or all the ancillary issues that the COVID caused. Well, so all of this means and indicates that our CIA was probably at least at minimal aware of what was going on. Now, let me bring this in. You have the Department of Defense. Did you know that just about all the contracts related to COVID, whether it's for vaccines, for this, for that, testing, all these things, do you know that most of them have ran through the Department of Defense? Not the Department of Health and Human Services. Not, I don't know which department, pick your department, but through the Department of Defense. Why? Why would this run through the Department of Defense? What's going on here? Could it be that the Department of Defense is somehow being used to cover up what's going on or is aware? I don't know. Well, let's talk more about it. The House Republicans in their report backed up my assertion that the intelligence community was trying to cover up what had happened with the creation of SARS-CoV-2. Well, you don't hide things unless you got something to hide. If the intelligence community didn't have anything to do with this, you would have thought that they'd have been trying to sniff this out and share it with everybody so that, you know, they could solve the issue and determine who created it and where it came from and was it zoonotic, was it not? But why are Anthony Fauci and the intelligence community conspiring with Peter Daszak and others to cover up the creation unless they had something to do with it? They aren't. They're doing it because they had something to do with it. They were all involved. This is one of the shadiest dealings we've ever seen. So mark my words, I'm going to be proven right on this. The intelligence community absolutely was hand over fist involved in the creation of SARS-CoV-2. And there were all sorts of government agencies in it. They were also involved, I'm predicting here, we're going to find out, they were involved with the creation of the vaccines, which aren't vaccines. They were involved with every single part of this. What does this have to do with Twitter files? Well, the Twitter files show that Twitter was used as part of the PSYOPs. The PSYOPs that were going on in other countries. Well, let's talk about what they did here. Here in the United States, Twitter censored anything even close to COVID-related. Anything about early treatment, anything about origins, anything about the vaccines, everything about it was covered up and censored. Now, let me make this suggestion. I want you to think this through. If Twitter was working on PSYOPs around the world with the U.S. military, and the U.S. military was intimately involved with the creation of SARS-CoV-2 and the cover-up and the push for the vaccines and all these things, which we know they were. We have the documents. Is it really so hard to believe that the U.S. military, the DOD, and I'm thinking through the intelligence community, and I want to be real clear here. I love our soldiers. I love our military. But our soldiers and the guys that are willing to die for our country are not the same people as the crooks that are in the Pentagon, the CIA, the DIA, and in some of these agencies buried underground in their labs, you know, doing whatever it is that they do, right? Not the same people. We're talking about the crooks at the top, not the heroes at the bottom. The heroes at the bottom end up being cannon fodder for the crooks at the top. So when we look at this, is it really hard to believe the people who would have worked to cover up the creation of SARS-CoV-2, who have been known to use PSYOPs operations around the world, and who have actually now been caught being as a part of PSYOPs, running PSYOPs operations with Twitter, would have been running any PSYOPs operations with the U.S. government on the COVID stuff against the American people. I want to pose that they did. We know for a fact that the CDC is in part related to the response for bioweapons. They work with the U.S. military and the DOD and all these different groups through that. It's statutory, right? So we know that that happens. Does anybody want to suggest to me that the tactics employed by the CDC are somehow not a PSYOP? We know. I've written extensively back in August, September of 2021, when I filed my very first major COVID case. I wrote extensively about the psychological aspects. In fact, I even worked with Dr. Peter Bregan to try and understand how the PSYOPs might have been working, because it was quite clear that they were using all sorts of tactics to manipulate the public. I have thousands of pages of evidence and documents that this is what happened. You know, do you remember? Do you remember them telling you you were going to die every day from COVID? Do you remember the governor of your state or Anthony Fauci or Deborah Birx every day coming on and telling you about the death count and who's dying and how everybody's dying and the world's ending and you got to mask up or not mask up or wear two masks and you need to test yourself 400 times a day? And I mean, it was nonstop. I have documents showing that these are fear tactics. These documents have been submitted to federal court. So if I lied about them, I would have been sanctioned and lost my license. I didn't lie about them. They're federal documents. They're government documents. Most are self-authenticating. They work as evidence in court. This is legitimate. This is real. They were manipulating the public. We know that. Deborah Birx has even admitted to lying as part of her job. All these people have admitted to lying. Fauci just, I mean, you know, you can always tell if Anthony Fauci's lying. The first indication that he's lying is that he opens his mouth. Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, I'm funny now. Yeah, Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx, all these people were manipulating you. And it cost us, well, just about everything. Our economy's crashing. Our defense is in terrible shape. I mean, look at our military right now. The readiness is terrible. We can't get soldiers. The soldiers we got are dying from these vaccines. We've got just problem after problem. Of course, don't worry. We've got Biden taking care of it by, you know, teaching our soldiers that transgenderism is a good idea. So when this is all happening, is it really such a hard thing to believe that this was intentional, that they used tactics that they knew against the American people? I don't think there's any question about this. I'm willing to predict, and I always differentiate between evidence and prediction, right? I'm more than willing to predict that if we're able to get to true discovery on this, if we're able to get to real facts on this, and that if the truth keeps coming out, we will find that the military, the Defense Department, through the intelligence agencies, has been a part of the situation and a part of the manipulation of the American public. They have absolutely done this. It is absolutely mind-blowing and probably one of the most monumental stories in American history. And the thing about it is it's only one part of a much greater plan. Now, this all seems hard to believe, unless you look at the evidence. And again, we've got all the evidence. I think there is a much greater plan. I think that they being the people behind COVID, the people behind the push, the people behind the PSYOPs, the people behind the manipulation, I think they've talked about the plan extensively. We can see it. We know they've talked about it. How, where, what? Well, let's talk about that, right? Let's talk about what they've said. What they've talked about extensively is, I think, best embodied through the writings of one Klaus Schwab. Now, is that a name you've heard? Has anybody heard of Klaus Schwab? He's something, right? He's something. If you look at him, he actually bears a striking resemblance to a penis. Okay, I should be better than that. My wife is going to scold me. I definitely should be better than that, but I'm not. All right. Klaus Schwab heads the World Economic Forum, and he has written extensively and been working since the 70s on the Great Reset. Now, we keep hearing about the Great Reset, but yeah, it's kind of hard to believe. What does it mean? It seems out there. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that here in a minute. But, you know, these guys have talked about using COVID and using these catastrophes as a means to justify and to legitimize, you know, constant surveillance and more control and all these different things. They've extensively talked about it. They've written about it. They've funded it. If you follow the grants, if you follow the science, if you follow the research, if you follow all the different things and the paperwork, there's so many contracts and papers and grants. If you follow all that, you can't miss it. I'm going to tell you more about that on the other side of the break, but right now, I want to tell you guys about something that I really, really like. So I started using this air purifying system. It's a Genesis HOCL, and it's amazing. Let me tell you what it does. It actually puts out a mist, and it's an atomizer, and the mist actually kills germs and bacteria in the air. It's an amazing product. It's actually helping with health, and I want you to take a look at it. You can click on the banner at America Out Loud. Put America Out Loud in the checkout space. Let everybody know where you're getting it from and why you're getting it. But take this product for a look. You get a big discount if you use the America Out Loud thing. So please check out the product and tell them we sent you. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back with more on what's going on.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared. Sea level rise has not been unusual. And extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan, a plan based on real science that responds to the real world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure, a plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, icsc-climate.com.
All righty. So, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, the human genitalia. Klaus has been pushing this great reset. And Klaus Schwab is, through his surrogates and through his partners, which include George Soros, which include all the bad guys you've ever heard, Bill Gates, you all know Harari, maybe you haven't heard him, Mark Zuckerberg, all these guys are tied to the World Economic Forum, Obama. They have been talking about this great reset for some time. Now, I would say the closest thing to a spokesperson they have is this Yuval Noah Harari. He and Schwab can't seem to get enough of each other. Yuval Noah Harari is, to my mind, a piece of garbage. He seems to empathize with dictators and Nazis. He's spoken about Hitler himself as though the guy is something that we shouldn't just look at as a piece of human excrement. He's actually said, if only Hitler and Stalin had this technology, they would have been more successful. Talking about the new technology we have today. These guys are people who really just, they believe that there are a class of people that should rule in the world and that everybody else is just there to follow. They're from the whole class of people that look at most of us like useless eaters. You know, Bill Gates' quote that we're all just useless eaters. This is truly what these guys think. Well, what you got to understand is that Yuval Noah Harari is, he's revered along with Schwab. Harari gets invited to these TED Talks, to these special events by the New York Times, all these different things, because he's so wise and so advanced. And he's talking about how we can connect our brains to the computers and how we can have the internet of people. And, you know, there he actually says, Jesus Christ is fake news. Really? Jesus Christ is fake news? That's another story. We're going to get into that later. But the guy is just, he's just an offensive piece of garbage. Yet the leftists keep propping him up. Why? What's going on here? Why is Klaus Schwab talking about the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and how the Fourth Industrial Revolution doesn't just change what you're doing, it changes you through gene editing, such as the COVID vaccines and other such things? Why does Yuval Noah Harari talk about surveillance going under the skin as a result of the COVID and COVID vaccines? Why does Yuval Noah Harari keep, who the guy who says that it's too bad Hitler didn't have the technology that we have? He actually says that humans are, quote, hackable creatures, that the human brain is hackable, that he can know people, that there is no more secrets or no more anonymity. Now, why are these guys actually being given a platform? Why are they being listened to? Even if these things are possible, which they seem to be scientifically possible, does anybody want this? No. I certainly don't. I can't imagine anybody listening to this does. So why in God's name are these scumbag pieces of garbage getting platforms? Well, remember, the World Economic Forum is a forum, right? It's just a collection of rich people and billionaire business owners and leaders and what have you, right?
I found this on the web.
This is absolutely a group of people who are worried about expanding and consolidating power. Well, Harari's doing just that. He's talking about it. Klaus Schwab is talking about it. How can we expand? How can we ensure there's a ruling class that leads forever? Well, that's what they're working towards. Here's the thing. With these these shots with these COVID jabs. And to go back to what we were originally talking about, you know, is it possible that there was a psyops, that the U.S. military is more actively involved in this than we had thought? Well, of course there's a chance. Again, the House Republicans just put a report out on this. You know, we can look at their words. The stuff I'm telling you about Harari, the stuff I'm telling you about Schwab, I mean, I've been talking about it elsewhere. We've got documents on it. You can go to tomrenz.com, which I hope you will, and I hope you sign up for my Substack. But if you go to tomrenz.com, you'll see it in certain Substack articles. I've got an article that I'd written in my Substack, oh, I don't know, several months back, with links to a bunch of videos showing Harari talking about Jesus Christ being fake news and his admiration or wish that Hitler and Stalin and those guys had the technology we had today, because think of how much more they could have done. This stuff is there. We've got the evidence. We've got their words. We've got video. We've got audio. This isn't made up. This is legitimate as can be, and it's serious as a heart attack caused by COVID vaccines. I get that? Yeah, see? I was being quick there. I was being funny. Okay, it wasn't funny, but I try. All right. So the WEF has a great deal of influence over people like Joe Biden. We know that. He's, you know, Biden's been a speaker for them a number of times. They're very close. He's a member. World Economic Forum. Yeah, and I'm not saying that the World Economic Forum is a secretive society that nobody's ever heard of. They're pretty out in the open. You can see who their members are. You can see what they're doing. They're globalists. And they're telling us they want to consolidate power as globalists. So that's what they're doing. The problem is you've got guys like Joe Biden who, I mean, Joe Biden is, if not the most corrupt president in human history, or American history, he's got to be in the top two or three. I mean, the guy is, I mean, for a nickel, I think he would sell his soul if it wasn't already sold. You know, it's just, it's unbelievable. This guy, 10% for the big guy, right? The Hunter Biden laptop, all this sort of nonsense. You know, it's just corruption on a level that's hard to fathom. So under Joe Biden, is it really hard to believe that this guy who's been pushing these vaccines and pushing all this globalist nonsense that the WEF is talking about being important, talking about being central, is it hard to believe that you know, Biden would issue orders? I mean, how many Twitter files do we need dropped about the FBI and about all these corrupt agencies, all of our corrupt three-letter agencies that are at war with the American people? Is it hard to believe that the DOD would be one of them? I mean, we've seen what the FBI's done. We've seen what the DOJ's done. We've seen what all of these different groups are doing. Is it hard to believe that Joe Biden would leverage the power of, well, any federal agency to weaponize it against the American people? I don't think that's hard to believe at all. I don't think it's even a stretch. I think if we look back at the Twitter files over the last week or two, we can see it. So we've got Joe Biden working with the WEF. By the way, the WEF isn't just Joe Biden. You'd be surprised how many Republicans are members of the WEF. Look it up. I'm not going to tell you. I want you to go look it up. You do some homework. It's important that you do that, right? It's also important that you share what you find. Please make sure you're sharing this. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Truth Social. Those are my top two platforms, but you can find me pretty much everywhere. The two that I communicate most frequently on are Twitter and Truth Social. But Twitter, now that it's actually free again, Truth Social is and will remain free, to my knowledge. So, with all that happening, all that in mind, you know, let me ask you: do you trust that our country, from top down, is really working in our best interests? And I'm going to tell you, I don't know that I trust that anymore. I just don't know that I trust it. I know when I look at cases that get dismissed from the courts that shouldn't be, when I look at the nonsense that's occurring from the federal agencies that's absolutely illegal and unconstitutional, I start asking questions. And, you know, I'm not saying that my government's evil. I'm saying that there are questions to be asked and we need to have answers. What really makes me suspicious is the perpetual war on transparency, right? The perpetual war on transparency is crucial. What do I mean by that? Well, we've quit talking about things, right? We've quit talking. When I say, hey, I'm concerned that there was election fraud in 2020, the other side doesn't say, well, you know, it's legitimate that you would have a concern. You know, maybe your guy lost. Let's look. Where do you think that the fraud occurred? Well, I think the fraud might have occurred in the machines. I think it might have occurred, with false votes being added or counted. Instead of the other side saying, you know, let's look at the votes, let's look at the machines transparently and see, so that I can show you that you should have faith in our elections. Instead, they say, you're a conspiracy theorist and you're trying to sow distrust, so quit asking questions. Well, let's wait a second here. Asking questions is my job. As an American citizen, the price of freedom has and always will be eternal vigilance. You're telling me I shouldn't ask questions? What in God's name are you saying here? Of course I should ask questions, and you should provide answers because, well, if you won't show me what's in the machines, if you won't transparently let me look at things, why should I trust you? I mean, what, because you're going to call me a conspiracy theorist? You're going to call me a name? I don't have to trust you because you're going to call me a name. Answer the dang question. Show me. You know, what's so secret about the election code that we can't look at it? What, you aren't going to change the security keys? You aren't going to change the passwords between elections? Don't tell me we can't look at it. It's nonsense. We can have all sorts of independent parties look at it. There's no reason we can't. Now, I haven't really gotten into the 2020 elections too much because I've been too busy fighting COVID tyranny, but I have been looking at the 2022 elections, and particularly in Arizona. And this is relatively new. I just started digging into this. Wow, is all I can say. Wow. The elections, the 2022 election in Arizona has to be one of the most fraudulent things that's ever happened in America. And I don't mean a little bit. I can't even begin to tell you. So, Carrie Lake's lawsuit. Now, mind you, when I'm not being a commentator, when I'm not doing this, I'm a lawyer. And I sue everybody. I sue bad guys, right? I do that. This is my job, is I take bad guys out. That's why this is so important, because if I don't tell you about what we're finding, God knows the media isn't going to, they cover it all up. So I look at Carrie Lake's lawsuit, and it's, in my opinion, the strongest lawsuit on elections that I've seen filed, well, ever. I mean, it's indisputable. The stuff that she's got is rock solid. You can't argue that the machines weren't certified. You can't argue that votes didn't just show up out of thin blue air, because they did. You can't argue that there were issues with chain of custody of the ballots. You can't argue that there were issues with the way the machines failed at a rate of 59% in Maricopa County. You can't argue with the fact that the guys that were running Maricopa County had a PAC and were actively campaigning against Carrie Lake, the guys running the elections, the county recorder who's in charge of elections. You can't argue that Carrie Lake's opponent, Katie Hobbs, didn't abuse her office by, first of all, refusing to recuse herself from an election she was running in, and then actually going so far as to use her power as Secretary of State to ask that Carrie Lake and others be censored in social media. You talk about a First Amendment violation. There is no credible question that any lawyer could ask about whether that's a violation of the First Amendment. And I'm going to be honest with you, any lawyer that tries to make the argument that that is not is just full of crap. They know, or should know, what the First Amendment says. And I don't care how many twists and turns and pretzels you put yourself into, it is quite clear that our founders would have had an absolute conniption if they had found that a Secretary of State in a state running for governor was going to use her power to try and censor an opponent. That is unbelievable. And then if all that wasn't enough, Hobbs has to take it one step farther and actually threaten lawsuits and criminal penalties against some county election people who were questioning the crooked election she ran. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. But, you know, let's not let the facts get in the way of Katie Hobbs' story or her quest to take over the universe. I mean, we just don't want to do that, right? The whole thing is sick beyond words. And then you got Mark Fincham. Now, Mark Fincham run for Secretary of State, and Abe, it's escaping me, but Abe running for AG, I believe. Anyways, you got three good people running down there. All three are dealing with corruption and fraud on a level that's mind-blowing to me. Meanwhile, Katie Hobbs and these leftist lunatics are down there doing everything they can to destroy her. Like I said, I just can't fathom the corruption. The corruption that occurred in Arizona is mind-blowing. And then, as the lawsuits get going, you know, you've got Carrie Lake's Katie Hobbs. That one is incredibly powerful, and it's actually good news is it is moving to trial. I pray that the trial is good. I pray that it's, you know, correct and that justice is done. And I'm going to tell you, absolutely, without any hesitation, there is no way that Carrie Lake does not win this case. If that court is just, I don't see a way. I'm looking at the evidence. I'm looking at the pleadings. I'm looking at what's there. They got nothing on the other side. It's absolute garbage. The defenses are absolute garbage. Okay, so to me, this has got to go forward, and it's got to go forward really well, and justice will be served, God willing. But I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other cases, right? So Fincham's case is the one that I really want to hit. So I'm going to do that in a second. But before I do, let me tell you guys about Cofix. Cofix is a nasal cleanser. What is that? Well, if you use America Out Loud as the promo code and you buy some of this, what you'll find is they'll send you some stuff that you can use to clean your sinuses. That may seem like, well, why would I want to do that? Well, why do you wash your hands before you eat dinner or after you go to the bathroom? Because germs spread, right? Well, same sort of thing here. When you start getting sick, a lot of what makes you sick tends to kind of just fester in your sinuses. If you clean them, it helps. A bunch of very brilliant doctors and people have started promoting nasal hygiene as a means of reducing illnesses or helping to stop illnesses. And I got to tell you, I've become a proponent. I don't talk about products unless I've used them. I like this. I like this product. It's a good thing if you're getting sick, make use of it, keep a few bottles around, and use the America Out Loud promo code to get it. So we'll be right back, and then I'm going to talk to you about Mark Fincham.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20%. By using promo code OUTLOUD.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello,
Welcome back. Okay, so Mark Fincham, running for Secretary of State, good guy, fighting hard for the people of Arizona. Well, Mark lost, I believe, because of fraud in the election. I believe that the election was intentionally screwed up. And he filed a good suit. He filed a solid lawsuit, right? The thing that you want to understand is that Arizona, and this is the reason that I'm supporting Carrie Lake's suit and that I think she should win this, okay? The laws in Arizona are actually good and favorable for Fincham, for Lake, for all these people. Now, I'm going to explain Fincham's lawsuit and some of the issues there, but a lot of this applies to Carrie Lake's lawsuit too. Now, here's the difference. Mark Fincham's lawsuit is regarding a much, there's a larger margin of victory in Mark Fincham's race than there was in Carrie Lake's race. Carrie Lake's, Katie Hobbs, only had, I believe, 17,000 people. Mark's was much larger. Now, that is actually my first point. So how many people would believe that by over 100,000 votes, Republicans voted for Carrie Lake but didn't vote for Mark Fincham? That doesn't make any sense, right? So over 100,000 more people voted for Carrie, or 100,000, you know, spread difference between Carrie Lake and her race and Mark Fincham and his race. That doesn't make any sense. Why would that be? What, 117,000 people voted for Carrie Lake that didn't vote for Mark Fincham? I just, those numbers don't make sense, right? You can probably account for some of it, but that many? Seems ridiculous to me. So, most importantly for any of these cases is Arizona Statute 16672. Now, 16672, I'm not going to try and get too much into the law, but basically what it does is it says that anybody can challenge an issue with an election for misconduct on election boards or members or any state officer, well, Katie Hobbs and Maricopa County, for a whole slew of things, right? Illegal votes, erroneous counts. There's all sorts of reasons that they can do. There's five listed reasons. And if any of these are being alleged, they can challenge us, right? That is crystal clear, crystal clear. The plain language of the law absolutely says you don't have to prove fraud. You don't have to prove anything. All you have to do is allege that these things happened and you have a right to challenge the election. Well, both Katie and Mark did allege these wrongdoings. Here's where things get a little bit interesting. So Mark's case was dismissed. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you. I want to urge you to check my Substack out on this. I wrote a very, very pointed Substack article on this, and you can find it at tomrenz.com or at tomrenz.substack.com, or I posted it on Twitter or Truth. I mean, it's all over the place, right? The thing that you need to understand, and the thing that I talked about here extensively, is the failure to apply the law to the facts in this case. The job of a judge or a lawyer, okay, this is really important. Everybody gets this wrong. It's not to change the law. That's not the judicial branch's job. That's the legislative branch's job. The job of a judge or a lawyer is to facilitate the application of the law to a particular set of facts, okay? So if there's room for interpreting what a law means, that's fine, but we start out with the plain language in the original intent of the law. From there, you know, if we want to, if there's ambiguity, there's a little room for interpretation, but there's usually not that much room. So we just apply the law as it's written to the facts, and that's how you get what you got. Well, this ruling against Fincham was, to my mind, at best, tripe. It was garbage. There are so many issues. The reason that this happens is I think that I don't want to allege corruption because I can't do that. But whether it's a mistake, whether it's corruption, whatever it is, this to me is inexcusable. Okay, you have a job as a jurist to do right on this. And this wasn't just a little bit off. This was just horrendous. So the first thing you see is the court said it talks extensively about the fact that Mark Fincham failed to prove fraud in his complaint. He doesn't have to prove fraud in his complaint. All he's got to have is a short, plain statement of the claim showing that the pleader's entitled to relief. And that's almost a direct quote from the Rules of Civil Procedure. Short, plain statement. Now, it's got to be plausible, and there's got to be some flesh on the bone. But essentially, a complaint just is an allegation. You don't prove your case in a complaint. So the way a trial works is you do your complaint, and then after the complaint, there's discovery. And after the discovery is where we get to look at real facts and exchange evidence and see what's going on. Then you have a trial where you argue how those facts and the law should apply to those facts. In this case, they threw this out before discovery. And they said that it was a deficient pleading, essentially, that the pleading didn't have everything it needed, that it didn't. They didn't show fraud. Well, that isn't what you have to do. The court cited some states or some cases that would have been controlling. But those cases were historic. They were decades and decades old, right? Whereas the updated law that says basically anybody can challenge an election for mistakes or miscounts or things like that, that was written just in 2020, I believe. So that law is controlling. That law is what counts here. It doesn't matter that the case law, which is what you call common law, says what it says, because common law is controlled by statutory law. Statutory law is more authority, right? So when the legislature speaks, that's the law you use. There is no ambiguity. It says that it goes forward. Yet this judge threw this out and said, well, you know, you failed to show this. What that's called is conflation, right? So they conflated the applicable standard that you had to show in your pleading with the standard you have to prove in the case. Mark's team would have had no way of being able to prove everything in a complaint. The rules for submitting a complaint wouldn't allow it. But yet, because he didn't meet this ridiculous imaginary standard that doesn't actually exist, they threw it out. That's garbage. And there's a lot more to it than that. Not only did they conflate that, but there's also other things that are absurd. They talk about the idea that this complaint should have been filed possibly years ago. How would he have done that? He didn't have standing years ago. He wasn't injured years ago. Mark can't file a complaint. To file a complaint, you have to have standing. Standing means you have concrete and particularized an injury that you can show. Well, Mark wasn't injured until after the election. He didn't have a right to challenge this just because he existed. You can't challenge an election that hasn't occurred. It's absurd. So if he would have brought the complaint years ago, as the court says, well, of course they'd have thrown it out. They'd said, you don't have standing. Now he files it after the election. They say, well, this is no good. Dr. Nalaches, you should have filed this years ago. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's not even good logic, let alone good law. And you throw on top of that other things. It's incredible that when you look through this, the court's ruling is filled with legal and factual conclusions. When Fincham never had the chance to get discovery, he never had the chance to make an argument. All he did was file a complaint, and yet the court's making a ruling and writing all this conclusory language on a ruling on a complaint. It's ridiculous. Essentially, what this court has did in Mark Fincham's case is said, we don't care about the statute that says that you have the right to challenge that. We're going to ignore that and instead rely on some common law garbage that occurred decades ago that is no longer valid, but we don't care because we don't. And we're going to make decisions based on the complaint, even though you didn't have discovery and couldn't actually make the arguments prior to discovery, and nor could you apply the facts or the law to the facts until you had the facts to apply it to. But that's okay. Who needs to think about the law or the facts when you're just trying to get to a conclusion? And then you've got this idea that he should have filed things years ago, which is also ridiculous. I mean, this whole thing is just absurd. It's abhorrent. And if this ruling stands, I don't know how you'd ever be able to challenge an election, no matter how corrupt it is, ever. The courts cannot abdicate their duty. Their duty is to determine issues of fact and law when a real dispute arises. And the courts continue making more and more law. They continue having rulings and creating interpretations where there needs not be any. The way that the doctrine of standing has occurred and developed over time is absurd. Oh, you don't have standing. Ask Donald Trump about the doctrine of standing and all of his cases. Again, I didn't get into the 2020 election too much, but how many of them were throughout for standing or other nonsense? Now, if they were anything like this, no wonder the guy was mad. I don't know. What I do know, this all comes down to one thing. There's no reason for an issue this important that a court would not allow full discovery, that a court would not encourage it. More importantly, there is no reason that the Secretary of State, who is being challenged when she really should have recused herself, would not want people to see that she was an honest player, right? Why wouldn't Katie Hobbs want Carrie Lake to look at these machines and see how she won it honestly? Why? If she has nothing to hide, if Katie Hobbs has nothing to hide, what is she hiding? Why is she trying so darn hard to hide it? I think that the answer is pretty self-explanatory. But with Mark Fincham, I hope the guy appeals this. Mark seems like a good guy. He seems like he's fighting for Arizona. And I'm going to be honest, this ruling was just, it was garbage. I know I've said that several times, but it's the nicest thing I can say about it. I'm trying not to swear. I mean, for God's sakes. We the people really have to be the solution here. People have to wake up. If we want to fix these things, you got to understand something. Those judges in Arizona are appointed, but then they have to be reelected. Our political officials that keep allowing the military to go to war with the American people, they got to get reelected. Now, if they can steal the elections, that kind of puts a twist on it. But ultimately, we the people are the ones that are going to tolerate this or not. We have got to stand together. We've got to share the word. We've got to get this information out. I said earlier, I mentioned, you know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. It's one of my favorite quotes. I talk about it a lot. The reason that that quote's so important is because it's meaning, right? Freedom is something that there's always someone wants to take it away from you. There are always people that want to take your freedom so they've got more power and more control. Don't know why, it's just human nature. We have two options. We can be vigilant about people who are trying to take our freedom and then stop them. Say, no, I'm not giving you that power. I'm not giving you that authority. Or we can watch it get ate away. Talked about some very, very big things today, right? Some scary stuff. Bad guys, big issues. And the one thing I don't want is I don't want anybody to walk away feeling powerless. Yes, things are rough. Yes, it's a difficult thing, but every single person listening to my voice has the ability to do something about it, whether it's sharing information, whether it's educating yourself, whether it's running for school board, whether it's helping someone else run for school board, whatever it is, there is something you can do. I'm a case study. I'm a little nobody attorney from the state of Ohio. I live in a tiny little town. I've fought hard. I've sued everybody. I've worked my way up. I wasn't a big shot. I'm not a big shot. I'm just some guy fighting. I can do it. You can do it. The good news is for true warriors become honed in tumultuous times. True warriors grow and develop during the difficult times. True warriors stand when everybody else sits. So what we're going to find is as we go through the mess that we're living through right now, is who are our warriors? Who is willing to stand? Who has the courage to stand? Who has the wisdom to see what's going on and the courage to stand against it? We need to support those people. We need to back those people. We need to help them share their message. We need to get their word out. And that's what we're going to do right here. I'm very proud that Malcolm and the America Out Loud Network invited me into the family. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to fight for my family, for my country, and for our future. I want to challenge each and every one of you to do the same. I don't care how you do it. I don't care what you do. Just do something. Do something. If you're doing something good, I support you. If you're doing nothing, I'm indifferent towards you. But if you stand in our way, you're my enemy and we're going to fight. Because we have to have freedom. My children deserve it. My family deserves it. And our future is on the line. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you, share the show. Call your neighbors, get it to them. Share the America Out Loud Network. Share TomRens.com. Share Rens-Law.com. Support us on social media. Support the sponsors on TomRens.com and America Out Loud. Join our Substack. Call your elected officials. Join Make Americans Free Again. Join the NRA. Support these groups. Support your warriors. Stand. It's the only way we win this. It's the only way freedom occurs. We have a lot to do, and we win this together, or we lose everything. And I got to tell you which way it's going to go for me. I'm going to fight, or I'm going to go down. Thank you all very much. God bless you, and remember to keep fighting for God, for family, and for country.